Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today. You all survived the flood last night? We had a little bit of rain last night. Just a little, didn't we? It's so good to see you here. And this morning, we're going to continue on our series about Get Desperate. And we're going to talk today about getting desperate, but don't let doubt rule. Get desperate when doubt comes in. Get desperate when you find yourselves in that midst of dealing with doubt. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. And one of the things about that that I just, we all know that you know, life is hard. That's no surprise to anybody. If it's a surprise to you, I want to know what you're doing so that it's not hard. But it is hard. And it is difficult even sometimes for us as Christians. And we don't like to admit that sometimes. We always want to say, and I heard growing up in the church I grew up in, once you become a Christian, you know, you won't have any more problems. And there was an old man in our church. I was very young, but every Sunday, we had testimonies every Sunday. Every Sunday he would stand up and he would say the same thing. I want to thank God that ever since I gave my life to Christ, I have not had any problems. And then underneath my breath, I always would say, except lying. Because we all know that no matter what, if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, we go through this life where we're going to have problems. And when we have problems, problems create in us a doubt about the reality of God sometimes, about who he is and what he is and what he wants to do and how he's going to work in your life. We struggle with trying to find out and understand the reality of God in the midst of this life that is imperfect, because you and I are imperfect. We're living in an imperfect world. And in the midst of that, Christ has come to minister to us and help us, but in it we struggle to know what is God and what is not. And we are sometimes really filled with I don't know about some of those things. So we're going to talk this morning about doubt, about how it impacts us and how we move from doubt into a place of faith on a greater understanding of our walk with God. And it's a process that we need to go through. And I want to start this morning by reading to you a portion of scripture, excuse me, from Matthew chapter 14. It's a story that you're all very familiar with, but I want to pick it up here. It takes place immediately after the feeding of the 5,000 that was there. And I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation because I like the way it works the words in some of this. Starting verse 22, as soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and go to the other side of the lake, while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up in the hills to pray. And as night fell, he was there praying alone with God. But the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by high winds and heavy seas. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the waves. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost! It's a ghost!" And Jesus said, "Be brave and do not be afraid. I am here." Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." "Come and join me," Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up and said, "What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win?" And the very moment they stepped into the boat, the raging wind ceased. Then all the disciples crouched down before him and worshiped Jesus. They said in adoration, "You are truly the Son of God." Let me frame this background for you just a little bit more. And I know it's small up there. I hope you follow it through. But let me just frame this for you a little bit more clearly. They had just finished feeding the 5,000 people, 5,000 men. So it was a total, there would be men, women and children beyond that. So easily 10 to 15,000 people there were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples had just witnessed that take place. And as that is wrapping up, Jesus says, you guys go get in the boat and go on the other side. I will dismiss the people. So if we put it in a time frame that makes some kind of sense, let us assume that it was an evening meal that Jesus fed them and not a noonday meal. And he was sending them out now and it was wrapping up and sending the disciples out. Let's assume it was about 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Let's make that our assumption. And it certainly wouldn't have been any later than that. It could have been much earlier than that. So the disciples go down, and let's say that it takes them an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to get down to where the boat is. Again, it probably took them less. Let's say it took them a couple hours. So now at the latest, it's 9 o'clock at night. And they get into their boat, and they start to go across the lake. Now this lake is 10 kilometers wide, or about 6 miles, for those of you who are still back in the old way of understanding, in the older age group. And that was the width of the lake. So they started out in the lake at the latest at 9 o'clock at night. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And since about midnight, Jesus, as he was praying, he was doing okay. But the disciples now were out in the boat and they'd run into trouble about midnight. So they'd already been on the lake for 3 hours to try and travel 10 kilometers. And now the winds and waves were buffeting against them and they were struggling and they were not being able to get there. They were not being able to get to where they wanted to go. And it was hard. It was hard for them right there in the middle of that. And Jesus went back and prayed. Then about 4 o'clock in the morning, so the disciples have now been on the lake for at least 7 hours. At 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus comes walking out on the water. He comes walking out on the water and he finds the disciples there in the lake and they are tired, they're worn out, they're struggling. They don't, what am I going to do? How am I going to get to do and to where I'm supposed to go and be what I'm supposed to be? Or what's going on? I'm not finding any joy right now. Okay, no, there's no joy right now. I'm not excited about anything. Yeah, Jesus fed the 5,000, but right now we're on the lake in a boat, in a storm, and we're going nowhere. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And then Jesus begins to do his miracles. We'll get to those miracles in just a moment, a little bit more. But I want to go walk through some of this process of the things that were taking place here today. First of all, I want us to understand that we are all in the boat. We are. Each one of us are in the boat. Particularly if you've made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you've made that commitment to Christ, you're in the boat. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. But I want you to understand what it means to be in this boat. We're in the place where God told us to be. We're in that place where Jesus directed us to be. The disciples were told, get into the boat and go across the lake. Yes, Master, we will go. Get in the boat and go across the lake. And as they were going across the lake, trouble happened. They began to struggle. They began to struggle in what they were doing. And sometimes for each of us, we know that God's brought into our lives direction and understanding and things that we're supposed to do in terms of our relationships with our spouses and our families, in terms of our relationships with other people, in terms of our jobs, in terms of our lives. God says, this is where I need you to go. This is what I need you to understand and do and be in your life. And you're going, yes, okay, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing the right thing. I'm trying to listen to God. In the middle of this now, all of a sudden, it's just like, I don't feel I'm getting anywhere. I've been on this treadmill now for too long. And just as they had been on the lake for at least 7 hours to go 10 kilometers and still hadn't gotten there, we find ourselves in situations where we struggle, where we are working through some problems and we're saying, I don't know what to do in the middle of this. I don't know what to do in the middle of what's going on. And sometimes it's just much easier to turn around and go back the other way. You say, this is not worth it. Now, with the disciples, I can understand. They're out in the lake, right? They've been rowing. They're hoping the sails are going. They're doing whatever they can. They're paddling. My nephew, who's a bit of a goof, nice kid, but a bit of a goof, he was out on Shuswap Lake one time, and he was out in a little rubber dinghy that was only half inflated. So you know how those things are, trying to row? It's like really hard. And a guy came up beside him in an aluminum rowboat, said, "Want a race?" My nephew said, "Yeah." So they started to race, and the guy, after two strokes, was way ahead. So my nephew, he's digging in. Then he lost an oar. His oar drifted away. He didn't try to retrieve the oar. He just kept paddling with one. And he started to go in circles, and he couldn't understand why he wasn't getting anywhere in the whole process. Everything was just going sideways on him, and he just came back. He's exhausted. He said, "I couldn't get anywhere, and I lost an oar." Sometimes that's kind of like how we feel. I didn't get anywhere, and I lost an oar. I've been trying so hard to get somewhere, and now I feel like I've just lost something that was supposed to help me along the way to get there. I just don't have what I need to get me to get there, and I'm frustrated. I'm just frustrated. It's just, you know, it's just easy to go back. Let's go. Let's just. The wind's blowing against us. Let's just turn around, go with the wind, and we can go this way. You know, doubts are part of the journey. They're part of the journey that we walk on. If you don't doubt, you will never grow to faith. And if you look at your own personal walk, you had to go get past your doubts before you asked Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life. You had to get past those doubts. You have to get past your doubts about God's promises and God's work for you to be able to step into them. So doubts are not... We often condemn people about their doubts, and we often even really don't want to admit to each other that we have doubts. But doubts are part of that growth process. If you don't admit you have a doubt, then you'll never be able to step into faith. Because as we grow and as we walk with God, faith is a journey, and it's not a guilt trip. And many times we have people that want to try and put guilt on us because we're not walking the faith walk that we think we should have. And so we feel guilty. And so we often don't even want to talk to other people about our walk with God, because if we express any doubts to them, they're going to go, "Oh, they're not a very good or strong Christian." And even if they don't say it, we see it in their eyes. And we think that we know what they're thinking. But it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey that we need to go on. Part of the journey that we need to walk on. And the last statement there is also true. Your faith can move mountains, but doubt can also create mountains. So we need to understand that while doubt is a part of the journey, we need to understand that doubt is also sometimes very destructive if we let it stay as doubt. If God's word declares something that's true, we need to be able to move beyond that. That's what we need to try to do. It's a journey for each one of us to try and experience and know what God has for us. And each of us here has a different measure of faith based upon your experience and what God has done in you. Some of you here this morning have believed and seen God bring healing into your life or into the life of someone you love. A miraculous, powerful healing of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you've seen that and you've experienced it. You have a different understanding and generally a different faith level than someone who has never seen healing take place in someone. And so they're on the sort of the outside looking in, and they're saying, God says he will heal, but I've never seen him do that. And so there is more doubt associated with that, or less faith, if you will, associated with that than someone who's seen it and experienced it. And the same thing applies with every other area of your life, whether it be for provision, whether it be for relationship healing, whether it be for guidance, whether it be for whatever thing it is that you seek and want to know what God's going to do for you. It varies dramatically depending upon where you are. That's why we need each other. We need each other because if I'm struggling with doubt in an area, I need one of you who's seen God work in that area to come to me and say, I've seen God do this, and you know what? I'm going to stand with you and bring faith to you and bring my faith to be active in your life so that you can understand more about what God is, because he's been real to me. He's been real to me. Sometimes we need what I call piggyback faith. Piggyback faith is that, well, I'm weak. I got a brother or sister in Christ who's strong, and I need to come alongside of me, and I need to piggyback on their faith to be able to help get me through what I'm going through. I need their words of encouragement. I need their words of faith. I need their words of strength that I need to work and impact me and to move me to where God wants me to go, because I'm struggling where I am in what I've got. We're all in the boat. But faith begins when we recognize that God is with us. Faith begins when we recognize God is with us. If we really understand and believe that God is with you, that God is for you, that God is not against you, then you can start to grow in your faith. If you start to believe that God's word is true, you got to get an understanding that the word of God is true. No ifs, ands, or buts. No, I'm not sure about this portion. It's true. It's true. This is God's word for me. And when we start to get a hold of that and start to understand that, we start to get a different perspective. It's the beginning of a different perspective on what we see God wanting to do in our lives. When the disciples saw him walking on the top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "It's a ghost!" Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid, because I am here." It's almost, for you Marvel fans, it's almost Superman. Now, please do not accuse me of minimizing Jesus to Superman. That's not what I'm doing. But in the stories of Superman, he comes to save the day. Da, da, da. Jesus Christ comes to be in your day. Jesus Christ comes to work inside of you in your day. Jesus Christ comes to surround you in your day. And he's there with, but the thing is, he is there all the time. He is with you. He is here. Jesus is here right now. Jesus is alive inside of each one of us who've committed our lives to Christ right now. Now, his spirit is alive and powerful within us, and he is there with you. And so when Jesus says to the disciples, "I'm here," he's saying to you right now, "I'm here. I am here in you. I am here for you. I am here to create something awesome if you will trust me and believe what I'm guiding you in and where I'm taking you." The glory and power and grace of God is enormous and outstanding. We see what God wants to do. We see what God wants to create and what God wants to bring about. Yet we still struggle sometimes. Let me read you this story about it from Mark chapter 9, verses 20 to 27. Mark 9, starting verse 20. Excuse me. There was a man who had a son who was possessed by an evil spirit. And the boy kept throwing himself on the ground and hurting himself. And the boy kept convulsing and doing all these other kinds of things. And starting in verse 20, it carries on. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy, his father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "Is often thrown him into the fire to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can?" said Jesus. Remember what the man said? If you can do anything. Jesus goes, if you can. Everything is possible. Everything is possible for one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Don't we often find that with our lives? Verse 25, when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up well and complete. How many times in our walk with God do we go, God, if you can? We may not put it in those exact words, but we formulate it, we make it into something else. We create words that are give us and God a way out. We put an escape clause built into our prayers. Lord, bring healing to this person if it's your will. I know some of you just went, shh, when I said that. Scripture is very clear that everyone that Jesus touched and came across, he healed. Scripture is very clear that the power of God is there for healing. It's also very clear around us that not everybody gets healed. But how should we pray for it? God, heal. Faith is not ignoring natural facts. Fall down, break your arm, it's broken. It's not ignoring that. Faith is saying God's facts are greater than natural facts. God's laws are greater than natural laws. So if I put my faith in God's laws to help me overcome the natural laws, then I can trust that he can work in the middle of this thing that's going on. Jesus came walking on the water. Natural laws said he ain't supposed to do that. There's nothing around us that says that Jesus should be able to walk on the water. There's nothing around us that says anybody should be able to walk on the water. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. Natural law says that's crazy. That's not going to happen. It can't possibly happen. And yet Jesus did it. And not only did he do it, he said, Peter, you come to me. And Peter got out of the boat and Peter walked on the water. God created the natural laws. He's the author of all of it. So if God says, my law is going to supersede or my power is going to supersede anything that's happening in the natural, God's going to do it. And we need to trust him in it. We need to step from, I don't think he can, to, I am expecting and believing that he will. I don't think God's going to do this. God, I believe. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Help that unbelief within me to be overcome by the grace and goodness of who you are and understand where you want to take me so that I can be what you, who and what you want me to be in every way. And then we've got to, once we get into that, there's now a place where we believe, we're sort of, there's this gap between hearing what God says to us and the miracle that's to take place. There's this gap, and belief is part of that gap, but there's another part to that gap. Peter, in the boat, Jesus, if it's you, call me to come out on the water as well. Jesus said, come. Now, if Peter had said, cool, Jesus said I could walk on water. That's great. Turn this. Hey, you hear that, guys? You know, Jesus said I can walk on water. That's fantastic. That's great. That's fantastic. But in order for us to move from doubt to faith, we not only put our belief with it, we have to put our action to it. We have to put our action to it. See this chair? It's a chair. It was designed for one purpose: to be able to be sat on. That's its sole purpose. Now, I could have someone come up and we could debate all day long as to whether this chair would hold me. We could look at it and say, you know, based upon its structure, based upon the welds that are there, based upon its purpose and its design, seems pretty tough. Seems pretty tough. I believe it would hold you. There's only one way to know for sure, right? Please hold me. You have to sit in it. With Jesus Christ and his promises, it's more than just saying, God, I know what your promises are. It's more than just saying, I hear what your promises are. It's more than just saying, I agree with what your promises are, with what your word says, with the directions for my life. It's more than just that. It requires the action to place yourself to rest into the promises of God. That's where your faith becomes real. That's where your faith starts to become very real. Peter got up and he stepped out of the boat. That's when his faith became real. There was action that went with it. Now, listen. God will do miracles when we obey him in action, even when we don't have all the faith that we need. Got that? God will do miracles when we obey him, even when we don't have all the faith that we need. Take a look at the feeding of the 5,000. Just happened just before this incident. Jesus was up there and he said to the disciples came to Jesus and said, look, the crowd's hungry, we need to feed them. Jesus said, you feed them. They said, we haven't got anything to feed them with. Jesus said, what have you got? Well, we got this kid's lunch. It's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, bring it to me. No faith involved in any of that. No faith at all involved really in any of that. Just obedience, right? Go see what we got. Well, we got one lunch. Well, bring it to me. Oh, okay, I'll bring it to you. Kid screaming for his lunch. I don't know. But poor kid stole his lunch. Brought it over to Jesus. And in obedience, because of their obedience, he wound up feeding 10 or 15,000 people with 12 baskets full left over because of their obedience. The very first miracle that Jesus did, he turned water into wine. And the time came for him to do that. He said, go and get these jars and fill them with water and bring them to me. No faith in that. Just obedience. Just obedience. Naaman had to learn that lesson big time in the Old Testament. He had leprosy. And he came to the prophet. The prophet told him to go and bathe in the river. He said, why would bathing in the river do it? Just go bathe in the river. Just obey. And it wasn't until he just obeyed that God did the miracle. Our lives are wrapped up in a process of growth that goes from doubt to obedience to faith. Because when we see something happen afterwards, we go, wow. Now I can obey what God has for me to do. Now I can obey what God wants me to be. We have to take that step of faith and move out with what God has for us along the way. I want to talk about the guys. Just for a moment, I want to talk about the guys who were in the boat. I call them the guys who missed out. There were 11 other disciples in the boat. Not one of them got out and walked on the water. And I can imagine some of the conversation afterwards in that process. You know, oh, Peter, what was it like to walk on the water? Man, tell me what it was like. Oh, man, I wish I had got out of the boat. I wish I had got out of the boat and I had walked on the water with you. Man, that would have been so cool. That would have been fabulous if I had done that. Wouldn't it have been so cool? And they're talking amongst themselves and they missed out. They missed out. You ever stop to think about the consequences of your inaction and your lack of faith? We often think about the consequences for our actions, but the consequences of our inactions? What would have happened if I had done this? You know, one of the few times we think about that is that if we have a relative or friend who dies and we didn't share the gospel with them. That's one of the times we feel the consequences of our inactions. And we've all been at that place. What if I would have told them about Jesus Christ? What if I had shared the truth about who he is with them? What if I had given them what they needed so that they could find life? And now that they are gone, they would not be in hell. They would be, in fact, in the presence of Jesus Christ. What if I had shared with them the gospel that could have prevented that? There are consequences sometimes to our inaction. But we are inactive, we don't take those steps because we often do not understand and do not believe that what we are doing will bring the right things before the Lord. We're worried about our image, we're worried about whether being rejected, and sometimes we're just worried about messing it up. I've had people say to me, I don't want to share the gospel because I'm afraid I will say the wrong thing and I will force them to go to hell. We get the kind of logic in our minds that freezes us, that holds us back. There's a consequence to our inactions. But there's such a powerful consequence also to our actions. It lets us to go forward. We need to don't let doubt win. Don't let doubt win. Don't let doubt win. We are indeed in a battle around us. We are facing things every day that are trying to hold us back and hold us down. We are in storms every day because life is not easy. We're struggling against things every day because things are not right around us and where we are and what we're doing. We are doing all of those things every day. We're challenged about what is the right thing to do and live the right way. And every day there are things that are pushing us back in our faith. They're attacking us in our faith. They're pushing us back and they're causing us to doubt whether God's going to take care of this situation or whether he's not. And every day, we either let doubt win or we let faith win. Every day. We deal with that all along the way with us. And it's a struggle that we go through. Elton Trueblood said this. He said, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservations. Trust without reservations. Trust to believe that what God is doing is the right thing and will help us and guide us along the way. He will take us in that place that we want a fullness of him in us and through us. Pastor Joel often has described faith as R-I-S-K, risk. Faith is not easy. Faith is a struggle. But look what happened. In this case, think about Peter just for a moment. Peter, in the boat, been struggling 7-9 hours in the boat against this storm. Been fighting it. And around him, there were probably people saying, let's just go back. Let's stop. This isn't going to work. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking on the water to him and says, And Peter says, if it's you, let me come to you. And Jesus says, come. Come. So Peter, with his eyes on Jesus, stepped out of the boat and began to walk. And then when he looked around at the wind and the waves, doubt crept back in. And he started to sink. Jesus came, lifted him up, took him to the boat. And it says, as soon as they got back into the boat, the wind and the waves ceased. Let me tell you, a little bit of faith is better than no faith. A little bit of faith is better than no faith. A little bit of faith can get you started. A little bit of faith can cause you to grow. Jesus' condemnation of Peter was not because he didn't have any faith. It was because he had little faith. And if there's little faith available, there's also big faith available. We can start to see the things that God wants to do in our lives when we start taking steps of faith. And sometimes we can take little steps of faith. And that's okay to do because that's part of that growth process. I want to take a little step of faith. I need to take a little step of faith. A little step of faith. I'm going to tell those guys at work that I'm a Christian. Up until now, I've been hiding it. I'm going to take a little step of faith. I'm going to take another little step of faith, and I'm going to talk to them about why I think we shouldn't be using Jesus' name like that when we're talking with one another. I'm going to take another step of faith to do that. I'm going to take another step of faith in my relationship, and I'm going to trust somebody that I've not trusted. I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to forgive someone that I swore I would never forgive. I'm going to release them with that. Because God tells me that that's the way to bring peace and love and joy into my life. I am going to take steps of faith. I'm going to take little steps of faith. Because we are in a battle that rages every day over our lives. Lives that are going to find the power and goodness of God, or lives that are going to be spent, limited, and shuttered back and surrounded by doubt and fear. We can still be a Christian in that place, but we're not experiencing anything that God has for us if we're living in that place. My challenge for you this morning is simply that. Don't let doubt win. When doubt comes into your heart about the reality of God, about God's ability to meet your need, to work through you and in you, about God's ability to change the situation that you are in, about God's ability to get you through the situation that you are in, whenever there's doubt that comes into that, I challenge you right now, don't let doubt win. Let the grace and power and faith in Jesus Christ take steps of faith. Even if they're little ones. Don't let the doubt condemn you. Make the doubt inspire you to take the faith steps. And experience what God has for you. Experience what He wants to do in you. Let me ask you this. What area of your life are you struggling with right now where doubt about God being able to work it through is very real to you? We've all got them. You know what it is. Where am I struggling to believe God's purpose and plan in this situation? Where am I struggling to believe that God can turn anything good out of this situation? Where am I struggling to believe that this will ever change? I've been rowing this boat into the wind for too long, and I feel like I lost my oar. I don't see how it can ever change. This morning, I want to encourage you to make the choice. To simply say, Lord, I'm going to believe your word, and I want to take action on that belief. I'm going to go and I'm going to sit on your promise. And I'm going to see how it holds me up. I want to see how it allows me to get through where I am and what I'm going through. And I encourage you to get desperate to make that happen in your life. Would you stand with me, please? I want to ask that you, everybody just bow your head for a moment. Just, I want to take this as a private moment between you and the Lord. Remember I said that it's not just acknowledging that God has promises for you, but it's taking action on it. I want to invite you to do one thing this morning as a very small step of faith. That in the midst of the challenges that you are facing right now, whatever that problem is, whatever that struggle is for you, I want you to say right now that you're going to take a step of faith before the Lord. And to show God that you're doing that, I want you just to raise your hand to him and say, Lord, I am going to do this. I'm going to take a step of faith this morning. I'm going to take a step of faith that God, you are going to change the things around me. I'm going to take a step of faith and believe in you. So Father, you look down and you see us here. You see us taking this small step of faith that says, God, I will trust you in the midst of where I am. God, I will trust you in what you are doing. God, I will trust you with my life and how you are directing my life. God, I will trust you that you are going to make things different for me in my life. And I can trust you with that. So, Father, now, as I take this small step of faith, Father, I pray that you show me how I can take even greater steps of faith to put my belief in your word and my trust in you and who you are so that, God, you can start to really work through me and in me to bring about the results that you want in my life. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, is there anybody here this morning? And I talked about us all being in the boat if we've committed our lives to Jesus Christ. If you have never done that, maybe you've even been at church for a while or other churches for a while, but you've never actually said, ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin and be the Lord of your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Because everything I talked about this morning won't fit for you until you take that first step. And that first step is the most important one. That's the one that binds us all together as brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter what church we go to, no matter what our background or anything else, is salvation through Jesus Christ that brings us together. And so I invite you this morning, if there's anybody here that would simply say, I need to ask Jesus into my life, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand up in just a moment, but here's why I'm asking you to do it. These are the words of Jesus. He said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. So this morning, if you're nervous about putting your hand up and saying, that's me, don't be. Because we're all for you, first of all. And Jesus is for you. So is there anyone here this morning that would say, I've never taken that step. I've never done that. I've never asked Jesus into my heart. And we just raise your hands and say, that's me. I want to acknowledge right now that I need God in my life. I want to acknowledge right now that he is important to me in my life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask that we all pray this, repeat this prayer after me, if we will, please. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner, and I commit my life to you now. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and help me every day in my walk with you. I commit myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, we know and believe that you are now a part of the family of God. That all of your sins of the past are washed away. The grace of God will be with you to go forward in the future of your life. And His love and goodness is here for you. One of the things you should do now is tell somebody what you did. And you can do it. We'll have prayer teams. In fact, I'm going to invite the prayer teams and communion team to come up. If you want to come and you can have someone pray with you, you can do that this morning. If you came with someone today, you can talk to them and tell them what you did. If you need a Bible, we can get you a Bible. We've got them available for you. So please, let the truth and power of God work in your life in every way. We're going to dismiss the service. The meeting at... Okay. So if you're coming to the AGM, the meeting's at the Ministry Center. Bring your lunch. It's going to start right away. And hopefully we'll get it done fairly quickly, working through the AGM that's over at Crossroads Ministry Center in Davis Bay. If you don't know how to get there, check. But if you are a member of the church, you are welcome to come. And there will be some voting things that will take place there and some reports. So we invite you to come and be a part of that as well. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are here in this place and that you speak to us and you guide us and you give us strength and wisdom and love. And you help us to grow, Father. I thank you that you help us to grow. You take us from doubt to faith. And Father, I pray that wherever each one of us are on that road, on that trek, that God, you will show yourself powerfully to each of us. And you will help us to go further and further and stronger into our walk of faith with you. Father, I pray for your blessing that will be in us and on us. And I speak your blessing over each one in the name of Jesus. That God, you will strengthen and that you will teach and that you will guide, you will touch, you will encourage, you will give answers, you will give peace in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer, come on. There's folks here to pray with you. Communion is available over here. God bless you.